You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hey, Koinonia family, this is Pastor Chad, and we are in our final series, we're in our final session in our series called Factory Reset. We have been going through at the beginning of this year, essentially what our mission statement is, because we want to refocus on the mission that God has on Koinonia. And the way that we're doing that is, of course, going over our mission statement. We're also going over our values, which plays into our mission. And if you can remember them or not, we have five values. And the first one, of course, is Jesus is everything. The next one is that we believe that people matter, that we believe in having a transformed life. And this last week, Pastor Andrew took us through being Holy Spirit-led. And today we're finishing off with authentic community. As I talk today, I'm going to kind of structure this in three ways. You don't have to take notes, but if you do like to take notes, go ahead. But in my mind, this structure is really just kind of me working through my heart for you guys about community. The first one is you become like the people that you're around. The second one about authentic community is it doesn't happen without effort and sacrifice on both ends. And lastly, that authentic community actually reaffirms the word of God in you. And if you forget those points, whatever, I'll go back through those. Today is just a heart chat. But if you forget everything else, remember this, that authentic community is difficult. It's hard to get right, but when we do get it right, it's one of the greatest blessings you can have in your life. And I hope that you can have that, and I hope you do have that in your life. So the first point is this, you become like those you're around. Every time I talk about community, the first thing that I think of is this expression that I heard growing up. And it's this, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Now, this points exactly to who we are as social beings, right? We learn from the environments that are around us. If you're at the age of at least 25, you probably had this happen in your life a couple times, if not at least once, right? You were talking to a friend, you were talking to one of your children, or you were just having some type of activity in your life where you responded in a way, and you had this revelation, oh my gosh, I did that just like my dad, or oh my gosh, I did that just like my mom. And it points to the environments we've grown up in actually impacting our lives. That the environment we set ourselves in is that we start to change who we are. And that's why it's important, right? To get the right people in your life. I get that we all have friends, we all have family, but it's important to build our lives also around the faith community, the faith structure, because these are the areas that we have committed to. These are the areas that we say, you know what? I want to live my life in a way that honors Jesus. So why don't I get around people that are doing the same thing? And when we do that, it'll help you go down in the direction you want to go, right? I want to love Jesus the rest of my life. Well, I'm going to get around people who love Jesus so they can rub off on me, so I can learn from those environments. And that's why it's so important. And the second thing is that authentic community doesn't happen without effort and sacrifice. Yeah, I think of the passage in Genesis 1. It's the very beginning of the book, very beginning of the Bible. It's a book of Genesis, which actually means the beginning. And if you read the account, the first chapter, God is essentially building the world, right? He builds the heavens and the earth, the sky and the waters. And every time he builds one of these things, there's 7 days, every time he builds something, the paragraph or the build always ends with this, that God thought it was good, that it was good, that it was good. I think it repeats that phrase like 6 or 7 different times of this, that it was good. Well, in Genesis 2, we actually get a closer, in-depth look at when God was creating man. And when God was creating man, of course, he remember the environment he put him in. He put him in a place where things ought to be the way they should, right? He put him in a perfect place. Yet there was one thing. There was one thing that wasn't good. And the one thing that wasn't good was that man shouldn't be alone. That God recognized right there that it is not good for man to be apart from the family community structure. And so what did he do? Of course, God put Adam asleep. And I love this next part because God actually does surgery on Adam. He takes one of his ribs and he makes woman. Now, when I think about this, when I think about Adam and God bringing community in Adam's life, bringing an authentic relationship in Adam's life, what does he take? He takes the rib. The rib is the area that protects, right, your vital organs, your heart and your lungs. And I want to say this, when God brings authentic relationships in your life, it's going to cost you your sense of security, right? We have to open up. We have to be transparent. We have to let people in. And that takes effort. And it's kind of scary because why? People can hurt you. But but building that, right? God takes a piece of our security, right? It's learning how to be vulnerable with people. It's allowing them to come in our lives, seeing the real you, and that's very uncomfortable. I know building new relationships isn't easy, and I'm speaking to those who probably have come into the church newly this year, or are pretty new to the church, or pretty new to Christianity. It's not easy to rebuild this community in your life, right? We build community from all sorts of things, going to school, just growing up around places in our neighborhood, but building a new one, it's very difficult to do. Building relationships isn't easy, but hear me out. This is something you don't want to neglect. Your faith is impacted tremendously by the environments you put yourself in. And so you don't have to believe me. You can see this throughout all of Scripture about the people of God being impacted by the places and the communities that they've built. And this isn't telling you to run away from difficult situations, or it's really highlighting the importance to plug into the right ones. Here's my best advice for those who are trying to build community in the church and the church and faith communities. It's this, it's show up, right? Be awkward if you need to be. Stay around till the end. Don't get easily offended. Forgive people and then repeat. Just keep doing those things. And I'm very confident that the Spirit, who really, it's his job to unify us. When we take those practical steps of faith, I believe that the Spirit will begin to meld your hearts to the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. We do take efforts towards that, but at the end of the day, God brings the right relationships at the right time, but we cannot run away from them, but we have to take steps in faith. And so continue to put effort and continue to know that it's going to be uncomfortable and it's going to take sacrifice, but it's something that is going to be a true blessing in your life. And it's going to help you go in the right directions, in the faith directions that you want to go to. The last thing is that authentic community reaffirms God's word in you. There's a passage in John 6, and it's Jesus talking to his disciples. He just got done feeding 5,000 people. And after he's done feeding these 5,000 people, he begins to teach this hard teaching, right? He essentially starts to describe cannibalism. He says, if you want to be a part of me, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And of course, he was talking as a symbol, and he was talking about that no one goes to the Father except for him. But the crowd did not like the way Jesus was teaching it. And of course, these crowds were disciples. It's recorded as they were disciples. But there was a difference between the disciples who were in the crowd versus the 12 disciples that lived with Jesus. And that was the exact thing, is that there was a lot of disciples who showed up to be a part of the crowd and a part of the show. But there was only a few disciples that went behind the scenes, that lived with Jesus, that got the behind the scenes, because they lived with Jesus rather than just showing up for the show. I say this like being a part of Koinonia for a long time, and I love when we gather on Sunday mornings and we have these big celebrations. But I'm telling you right now, authentic relationships don't happen on Sunday celebrations. Authentic relationships happen on lower scaled, smaller groups. We see that even with Jesus, when he spoke to the crowds, there were people that followed him, but the ones that stuck around, the ones that went deep with him, were the ones that were in smaller settings. And I think it's so important for us to put ourselves in those smaller settings. You need to find friends in this faith community that are like the 12, those who have gone deep with Jesus, those who are there during the tough times. Because when you find that group of people, when you find people you can share your life with in that way, then that will give you the sticking power you need to continue to stay strong in your faith. There's been many times in my, there's one time I'm thinking about one of my friends is I was praying in my room one day and I was having a very difficult time letting something go. And I remember just kind of presenting my hands to God. And as I presented hands to God, I was essentially saying, God, take this from me. I don't know how to give it, but I give it to you. Well, later that night, I had a prayer meeting with some of my friends. And as we're having this prayer meeting, one of my friends came and prophesied over me. And he began to say, he said these almost verbatim. He said, the hands that you open up to God, he's going to pour rich blessings back into them. And when he said that, I just felt like my faith went to a new level. It wasn't only that I was hearing God, but now God was reaffirming his word in other people. This is so important when it comes to the church. You need people to speak the word of God into you. You need people to reaffirm that God word within you, because it begins to let you go deeper into your faith. And this is why it's so important to not only have friends, but to have the right friends, to have your faith friends, to have your friends who spend time with Jesus, who were not just a part of the crowd, but they're a part of the secret place. Find friends like this. So we'll go even all the way back up to the top of what I talked about. You are going to become like the people you're around. That authentic community does not happen without sacrifice. And lastly, when we do have authentic community, when we start to build that, it's going to reaffirm the word of God in you, which is going to strengthen your faith. All right, let's go ahead and turn over to our panel, or we'll continue to talk about this subject.
Hey church, Pastor Brian here, and we're today talking about authentic community. This is a core value of Koinonia Church. It's something that we really believe in. It's something that we know is important to the kingdom, and it's important to get it right, and it's really difficult to get it right. I know Pastor Chad touched on that and shared some great thoughts on it. So we're just going to kind of have a conversation now and share our experiences with authentic community, both in the church and in our personal lives. And so I'm joined today by some really awesome people that are part of this authentic community that happens here at Koinonia. Immediately to my left here is Pastor Christian. He is our student pastor, and he is my friend, I would say, most days. But he's somebody that I consider that I have authentic community with, that I can be real with. And he's a person that I have seen navigate very real conversations with people in a really honest way, and a really just kind of open and real way. And I appreciate that about you. So I'm glad to have you here with us.
You're welcome.
And then to his left is Melissa Todd. Melissa has served in the church in many areas, and it's just a great, faithful leader, member of Koinonia that has had an experience with community in this church for years. And I would say the same for Lupe Capozzi to her Capozzi. Correct? Capozzi. I always want to say Lupe Capozzi.
Capozzi.
Capozzi. Potato, potato. Potato, potato. Well, I won't call you potato, but she also is a wonderful leader in our church, somebody that has served alongside me, has actually served my teams before just because she had an opportunity to do so, and we've had cool conversations. She offers a great, unique perspective, and what's interesting, I think, about Melissa and Lupe is that they have a great friendship based on just a sisterhood in Christ. And they have had these moments of authentic community where they've come into, challenging parts of their different viewpoints in the world.
You can say arguments.
You can say arguments if you want.
Discussions.
But the way they navigate it is so pure and so it's so filled with love. It's grace forward is kind of the way I see it. And so I'm excited to hear from you guys on how to do that, because I really admire the way you guys do that well. So thank you guys for being with us. And then, of course, we have Pastor Chad, who you've already heard from. He needs no introduction. I'm just hoping that he's here to, make sure we all stay biblical with our statements.
Yeah, right.
And if he doesn't, I know Pastor Christian will. So we're going to start off just by talking about what authentic community kind of means to you and what it maybe has looked like in your life. So anybody that wants to share?
Yeah, I think authentic community really is about doing life together. Which is so cliche. I think that sentence, especially just in today's culture is so cliche, let's do life together. But it really is, what can you have those hard conversations with people? And do you have people in your life that you can talk about anything with? And kind of like what you guys are the example of, and disagree, but still love each other forward and still continue that friendship without any kind of hidden resentment or anything like that. And I honestly, I would say it's really hard to have. I think it's real easy to have community, but to fight for that authenticity where you're really who you are behind closed doors with other people.
Absolutely.
Is a big deal thing. It's hard to find.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, just by the word authentic and what that means, it means real. And so living in a world that really doesn't promote transparency, doesn't promote honesty, I believe that when we decide to have real relationships, that I personally don't want any relationships that aren't authentic. I mean, that's a waste of my time.
I hope that everyone I do have relationships with on whatever level is that they know that I'm doing my best to be the authentic me.
Each of those answers kind of shows that authentic community is found in the hard stuff. It's not in the somebody that I can have fun with and the people that I have everything in common with. I mean, those are great friendships and that's a great part of community. But when you get to the heart of, is it really an authentic relationship? That's found in the difficult things. That's found in the things where you're having to lay yourself bare or you're having to walk through some conflict with somebody. And can you do that in a way that still loves them? Like, that seems to be a common theme of what authenticity looks like. It's not easy because the easy stuff tends to be a little more surface, right?
Yeah.
And the authentic, the deep stuff, the real stuff comes with a little bit of pushback. Crunch. Yeah, yeah, right? Definitely. Yes, that's great. So I'm curious, how has this last year affected the way you do community or the way that you view community? You know, from the isolation of the pandemic and not being able to be physically around people as much to just the divisiveness in the culture that was so prevalent over this last year. Has that affected how you do community or how you view your authentic community?
You know, when it comes to authentic community, I don't think that community has everything to do with proximity, right? Just ask eHarmony, right? Like, like you can build relationship with not being in the same room with somebody. Now, do those relationships go to different levels and, you know, you discover different things about people? Totally. Right. But I know a lot of people have kind of been up in arms with the whole idea of like, you can't build community that if via Zoom or from a phone call. Like when the people that I have authentic community with or like trusting relationships with are people that I can trust. Right. And so they know, even though we're not face to face, that we're friends and I'll be there when you need me. What do you need? You know, and so. For me, I don't think the pandemic has really affected it that much, like, to be honest, because I check in with my friends. I text them all the time, right? I text people from the church. I call people from the church, right? So I try to do my best to continue to keep those authentic relationships with the resources I have because I think they can sustain those things.
Yeah. Has anybody's experience been different than that?
No, but I think one thing this thing has done is highlighted who you thought was really part of your authentic community and who wasn't. I know for me, like some of my best friends don't even live here. And so we've stayed in contact over the years pre-COVID where we'd FaceTime and Zoom or Skype or whatever. And kind of to Chad's point, it's like when you have a relationship with those people, you fight for it. You fight for it, whether you're in that community, whether you're living in the same town or not. And so I think through this last year, it's highlighted some people that I thought were in my life, that I thought were in my corner and part of that, but ended up not being. And I think for some, it's highlighted it for me too, where I'm just like, oh, I don't see you anymore. So I don't really talk to you. I forgot about you. I'm sorry. Yeah. So I think it really cemented some friendships and maybe uprooted for better or for worse, some other ones, or at least taught us to fight a little bit harder.
And you know what? I think along those lines that actually, like what you're saying is that the heart of who you really had in your tribe, like the heart was exposed. I think as a country, our heart has been exposed through all of the isolation and the pandemic and all the divisiveness and everything. Like we're seeing something that I know in my lifetime I've never seen.
Mm-hmm. I think it would have been really easy to fall back into a shell of isolation. but it's forced us to be intentional with the relationships that we have in order to maintain them. You have to join a group. You have to join a Zoom group. You have to do a class. You have to. And for me personally, going to work really didn't change much, except that I still took care of my patients, but then I had to realize that my patients don't have family there with them. So I now need to be more intentional about spending a few minutes with them and talking to them and spending more time with them, because they don't have their family there. So that's been a little bit of difference, but I definitely had to enroll in classes and do things and be intentional, because my flesh would have liked to have just shrunk back and grab the remote every night and not done anything. But you have to be intentional.
Absolutely. I think especially as ambassadors of Christ, we need to make sure that we are making ourselves do that work. Yeah. There's people in our church family even that aren't good at reaching out, and they rely on being able to come here and serve alongside people. That's where they get their community, because they're not really good at pursuing and putting themselves out there. And so those of us who can should and kind of take that on ourselves to be more Christ-like in the way that we go out to people and that we do the work that it takes to maintain connections.
I hope it's not like downplaying the difficulty of what we're going through. You know what I mean? Because I think that's very real. And I think that, you know, not being in proximity with somebody, long distance relationships are difficult. Everything's distorted right now. And my hope is just people hold on and know that it is possible to continue to pour into those. But it does not nullify the difficulty at all.
Absolutely.
You know,
I think about how they say something like 80 or 90% of communication is nonverbal. It's body language and it's facial, minuscule facial expressions. And so when we see people through social media interacting primarily via written word, I think that creates a lot of distortion in how we're receiving what people are saying or how we're being perceived when we're trying to communicate our heart. I think we lose some of the heart of it.
Get Pastor Roger in here. He always tells me about the human touch, right? Yeah. Like the normal person needs like 12 hugs a day or something like that. He told me that one time. It's like, man, I am very short on my daily hugs.
We'll all give you a hug.
Well, let's talk for a second about conflict and about maybe some of that distortion that comes along with trying to communicate well and the challenges that come when you're in conflict with someone. I would definitely like to hear from Melissa and Lupe on how they have navigated moments of tension in a way that you're able to speak to somebody authentically, and that you're able to feel heard and make them feel heard and honestly make a real effort to see from their perspective.
We spent some time, one time on a hike, I'll never forget. We went on a hike and we were just talking about this Rocky Hill. And we went on this hike and I'm just gonna say it. She was really pro one candidate for presidency. I was pro the other candidate. And we truly took turns stopping and listening. Yeah. Well, why do you feel that way? What brings you to that? And then I would speak and we heard each other. And when we got to the end, the realization hit me that we really want the same thing.
Yeah.
We really do. It's just the different avenue that we take to get there.
4 years ago, when all this started, the presidential stuff, and it was my turn to have the dream team party at my house or the gathering. And we did a questionnaire. We answered questions, and we answered questions about what was going on, and we answered questions about the political climate and all of that. And we're all pretty different.
Diverse.
Yeah, we're very diverse. And we had a discussion about it. You know, it wasn't an easy discussion. Some people didn't like what some people had to say, and that's okay. And the foundation that we have in our relationship is a Christ-centered foundation. So I don't believe that I'm right. You know, I know that the lens I look through is shaped by so many things, and I know her heart, and I know that I could call her at 2 a.m. and say, girlfriend, you know, I'm in New York and, you know, in jail. And I mean, she won't be like, what? We were just a dream team. No. We'll talk about it later.
I love that you said, I don't believe that I'm right. I love that you just have that attitude of, these are just my thoughts. This is my perspective and kind of some of the conclusions that I'm trying to piece together, but not automatically assuming that, like, I know it all and I know what's best and you're just wrong. And then, Melissa, I love what you said about knowing the heart. And not just assuming the worst of people, but assuming the best of people and really believing that people are good and that their hearts are good. I do believe most people do want the same things. They want to help people. They want to see good in the world. And yeah, there's a lot of different ways we could go about trying to achieve that. And that's where we kind of disagree. And so painting people as an enemy or a bad person because they don't have the same thoughts about the plan is just a recipe for conflict and a disintegrating relationship, right?
Yeah. Well, it's actually one of the best studies I've ever done was The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. And he talks about how we actually we promote offense.
Yes.
I mean, that is Satan's bait. You read, I can't believe that person. I mean, there's just this spirit of offense in there where people just get offended by what people say, what they don't say. And it's just so arrogant and so full of pride and so against God's principles.
You really have to surround yourself and enter into conversations with people in order to step out of your comfort zone. And I see so many people posting, saying things, and I wonder, have you ever sat down and spoken with somebody to find out what they feel about that? Or you're just attacking based on where you came from in your life because you've never given that a thought. And if people would do that more, if authentic community conversations would happen more, I think that you would see a lot more love in the community.
Yeah. There's an energy when you're with somebody in proximity with them and you're having a real conversation, like having a conversation. Those, I think, the disagreements, I think disagreements happen best like this, right? Yeah. Like, let's go talk about it. Let's go out to coffee. Let me see your face. Let me see your response. Let me see these things. Let me feel your energy, right? That's different, right, than on...
I think that's the spirit of God in me, recognizing the spirit of God in you when we are together, and every person, you know, has to be able to recognize the humanity of each other, that we are all created in the image of God, and that helps us to see beyond the issue and see to the person, and that, you know, we are created in the likeness of the Lord. We want to have authentic community. We want to be able to speak the truth in love and have difficult conversations and walk through conflict together in a healthy way. Is there a point in some relationships where you have to draw some lines, where you have to set healthy boundaries? I know that we kind of have to reconcile this as Christians who are called to lay ourselves down for the sake of others and to serve humbly in, you know, almost every capacity that we can. But is there kind of a line between, you know, just letting yourself be a doormat and creating a healthy boundary so that that relationship remains in a healthy place and not in an unbalanced place?
I think one of the misconceptions about being authentic is thinking that you have to let everybody into your most inner circle. I don't think that's being authentic. I think being authentic is being real about where people are at. Like, there's plenty of people in my life who are in my life and who I love and who I care about, but they're not necessarily in my inner circle. They're not necessarily all the way in that know everything about me. Like you said earlier, like, I consider you one of my friends. I think you and I text often and we're pretty open with each other, but, you know, and that's authenticity. But then there's my wife and my family who know even more about me, who are even closer to me and see that. But I don't think that takes away from the boundary I have with you.
Right.
I don't think it takes away from the boundary I have with somebody else. I think especially when you get hurt, there's this weird... just this weird thinking that, if I forgive you, then I have to fully trust you. If I forgive you, I have to fully let you all the way back in.
Well, I mean, even in the Bible, I mean, we have examples with Samuel and Saul when, you know, Saul was anointed king and he was on top of the world and he was disobedient. And Samuel, you know, groveled with God, cried over him, and God was like, it's over. You know what I mean? He did something he was not supposed to do. He was disobedient. And so I know that, you know, we have relationships that are God-sanctioned, and we have some that simply are not. Mm-hmm. You know, we just do. I use this analogy of a fake Louis. You know, the Louis Vuitton, the fake Louis. You know, they look like a Louis, but you start looking inside, you can tell it's a knockoff.
I got one of those from Cambodia.
Yeah. You can tell it's a knockoff. There's some people that Satan, you know, I tell my kids this, people are sent from two sources. They're either from Jesus or they're from the devil, okay? And... don't think that, you know, Satan's sitting back saying, oh, you know, go ahead and have a good life and, you know, show people Jesus. And there's some people that have been assigned to try to derail you and that are not part of God's plan for you. And you can forgive them and, you know, pray for them and hope they get delivered, but they're not part of your tribe.
Yeah. I heard somebody recently say, well, the church, you know, there's people that have, you know, ulterior motives, or they're, you know, it's like, yeah, That's all of us. People. Yeah, who we are. Why we need Jesus, because we're not good.
When I know that I don't have influence with somebody because maybe of how I came off, or, you know, just that feeling you feel when someone's talking to you and they're like looking down on their phone or like looking around. Listen, I'm not going to put effort in my opinions with that. You know what I mean? Like, I think just naturally it's like, if you want to hear from me, whatever, like I'm there. But at the same time, like, I just let them happen naturally. Those who like me tend to get closer to me, and those who don't tend to kind of just stay out on the outskirts. But I'm going to try to be the most authentic me. But in a way, again, I don't want to say, like, if you don't like me, see you later. That's like, that's not me. But I'm going to be as open as possible and respect you as much as possible and know that I still need to change.
Absolutely. Well, I do think that the church is a place where authentic community should be happening. We should be the example. You know, Jesus said that the world would know we were his followers by our love for each other, by the way that people can look at the church and see relationships happening there that look different than the world looks, the things that will inspire them and say, wow, there really is something different happening there. And that was Jesus's prayer for us as well, as he prayed to the Father, God, let them be one, just as you and I are one. Jesus's heart for his church is that we would just be a family that loves each other, that has those authentic relationships, that sees past the circumstances, that sees past the opinions or the different perspectives, and sees to the heart of Christ in each of us. So I think the church is a great place for us to practice that, because we don't get it right. Just because we've accepted Jesus doesn't mean we suddenly become Jesus, right? But it's a great place to practice it. And that's why I think it's so important to be part of a church and be part of a family of believers. That's why we push journey groups so hard, because that's where you get face to face and have conversations, rather than being in a large group where, you know, you're all hearing the same message. It's a lot different than being with people and getting to sit and talk like this and just kind of hear perspectives and let yourself be heard as well. Maybe open up some of the sensitive parts and be prayed for and encouraged, and, you know, have people that will walk with you through some of that hard stuff. So I know that there's maybe people out in our church that are doing this well. There may be people out there that are starving for community and having a hard time finding it, especially now. So let's just wrap up by, what would be an encouragement that you would give, kind of your final thoughts to anybody that wants to do community well, that wants to find good, authentic community, that wants to participate in the body of Christ in that way? Chad, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, it's to two different people. One, the person that just feels like they keep failing at it, right? Don't give up, because it's one of the biggest blessings that you can have. And the second is the person that doesn't think they need it, you need to have compassion for people. Right. I know that there's some relationships I get into because I want to help that person. Right. People are lonely and isolated. If you see that, don't turn a blind eye to it. Maybe you're not the person that goes into that, but you need to have that responsibility of making sure that person gets connected somewhere.
My piece would be to lean in, to really lean in and to ask God to take away all of these apprehensions about being active and being a servant, because we are here to serve. And there's so much community. I believe that the foundation in our relationship actually is based on the servants that we are.
I think for me, don't allow fear of getting hurt, fear of entering into a relationship and having differences, the fear of those conversations. Don't allow that to stop you from moving forward into being authentic with someone and investing time in them. And even when we're talking about boundaries, it's good to have boundaries, but allow God to set those for you.
I would say to fight for it, kind of echoing everybody already, but lean into the conflict. I remember walking into church one day, and right when all the COVID stuff started happening. And so I walked in, and right in the middle of the pandemic, I hugged somebody, I touched the microphone of somebody else. And then I heard Candace yell at me from across the room. I don't remember what she said, but it was embarrassing and it made me mad. And I was just like, oh, that is not. So I like stared at her and she stared at me. Then I remembered she was my boss. And so I just like put my head down and walked away. And like 30 minutes later, I went up to her and said, hey, you really made me mad, but I'm over it now. And can we move on? Like, I'm good. Are you good? And she was just like, yeah, thanks for coming and talking to me. Yeah. And I think just like that little example is like, if you take that and you're just like, oh, this can apply to every area of my life. Yeah. This can apply to every part of my life where it's like, hey, something happened. I didn't like it, but I'm going to lean in. I'm going to communicate well. And that's fighting for peace. And so for you guys watching, I mean, my encouragement to you is to fight for it, fight for real peace, fight for authenticity. Yes. And leaning into conflict is like the biggest step you can take.
Thank you guys so much for sitting down and having these conversations. I love you guys. I have tons of respect for every single person sitting here. You guys, your perspectives, I think, are valuable to the church. And I value your friendship. So appreciate the conversation we were able to have here today. And let me just close us out by praying for our church and for our community. Yeah. Father, we just exalt you and we glorify you, and we thank you for bringing us into relationship with people. We thank you for all the ugly parts of it and all the difficult parts of it. God, we know it's shaping us to be more like Jesus. And so we just join with Jesus, Father, as we pray to you for your church to be one, for your people to be one, just as you are one. And we just ask that you would be with those that are struggling with this, Lord. Be with those that are hungry for authentic community, and give us all just a little bit more Jesus to do it well. Help us to find you when we seek you in the scriptures, because we know you'll guide us in that. And we just want to see the world changed by the love that they see in your church, that it would point always to you, Jesus, and that it would attract people to a life surrendered to serving your kingdom and to serving one another with the same love that you did, Jesus. So we ask these things in your name.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.